How many of y'all ready for God's word? Ready to get into it today? Amen. Now I'm gonna let y'all know 9 a.m. got a little tight because of this word. It was really convicting. This might be one of those owl sermons, more so than a wild sermon, but I believe that the Lord is gonna grow us through this. And we've been in a sermon series called The Good Life, where we're looking at Galatians 5 and these characteristics of a good life, a spirit-filled, spirit-led life that the Apostle Paul talks about, the fruit of the Spirit. And so for the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And today we're going to lean into this eighth characteristic of a good life called gentleness. And so we're going to go to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And we got it for you on the screen in case you don't have it in hand. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And here is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. And self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11. I want us to flip over to another passage of scripture. Matthew 11, verse 28. We got it on the screen. It's the words of Jesus. He says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Some of you are here today and you're weary, you're burdened, you're tired, you're exhausted. He says this, and I will give you rest. Can I let you know this? Rest is not always found in a carnival cruise. Rest is found in a person. His name is Jesus. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Watch this, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our series, The Good Life. And I want to call today's sermon, Handle with Care. Can you tell the person beside you, tell them, hey, neighbor, handle people with care. Find somebody else, tell them, hey, neighbor, whatever you do, handle people with care. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, for who you are, for all that you have done. Would you speak to us now in a real way, and maybe a challenging way, a convicting way, but in a way that will compel us to become more like you. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person who knows that God is good, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands as you go to your seat for God's word. Amen. Handle with care. Family, I want to begin our time today by asking you a somewhat maybe a rhetorical question, but I want to get your response by show of hands. How many of you have ever received an important delivery and upon receiving it, you saw a label on the package that said these three words, handle with care? By show of hands, how many of y'all have ever received a package that had a label like that? Many of us are familiar with that label and what it represents, that it speaks to the fact that there is something on the inside of this package that is vulnerable, that is valuable, and also more than likely something that has the potential to be fragile. Along with that, I'm sure many of us, like myself this week, have been on the receiving end of receiving a package from Amazon or UPS that had this label, but upon opening the box or opening the package, you recognize that though the label on top of it said handle with care, when you open up the package, the pieces in that package were broken. Anybody by show of hands ever had that happen? I'm getting on Amazon right now. Y'all gonna learn today. Some of y'all got that refund spirit. Refund me everything. And then give me that for free too. Come on. You know that there was a problem, that it was broken or fractured in that way. And you would deduce that more than likely that item was not handled with care. It was broken ultimately. Why? Because, say it with me, it wasn't handled with care. We know this is important because things that are valuable are meant to be handled carefully. And what I've recognized, church family, is that we all more than likely instinctively know that there are certain objects that might be fragile in nature that should be handled with a certain measure of care that might not be applicable to other types of possessions and objects. But what's interesting is sometimes, though we know this about possessions, we don't always practice this with people. So it is interesting that we live in a day and time where we might be more prone to treat possessions with care compared to treating people with care. Let me ask this a question. Do you and I handle objects and possessions with better care than we do the people and the relationships that are around us today? Do we, if we're not careful, treat our cars better than we treat people? We'll make sure that tire got the tire shine on it, that tire wet. You spray that thing and that thing shining good. Come on, you got to spray it two times to get that shine. We'll take our cars to the car wash and we'll get them all nice and cleaned up and we'll vacuum our floors and we handle things with care. But the question is, do we handle people with that same amount of care as we do possessions? And we live in a day and time, family, where people will oftentimes treat possessions better than they treat people. Don't touch my Jordans. But we'll still cuss you out to your face. Y'all not gonna say amen. Okay, y'all gonna be tight too? All right. That we're really prestigious about certain possessions, but we don't handle people with the same measure of care as we do possessions. It's interesting because this is the same thing that the people in Galatia were also experiencing. Because Paul is writing to believers in this city called Galatia about what life God's way looks like. It's what we're calling the good life. And he's helping them to understand, in the midst of them being influenced by outside and erroneous teaching and false doctrine and false teachings that are spreading all throughout the church and spreading all throughout the culture, and they're beginning to be swayed by some of the pressures of culture and some of the things that are happening around them. The Apostle Paul, all throughout the book of Galatians, from the first chapter to the last chapter, this is a spirit-led and spirit-filled rebuttal to the false claims and teachings that were prevalent in their day and time. Paul is writing this letter to believers to essentially course correct them as to how life God's way, the good life, should be lived. So he contrasts what he calls living according to the spirit versus living according to the flesh. That life God's way is being controlled by the spirit. Life culture's way is living life according to the flesh. And Paul talks about this tension that the believers, that you and I also find ourselves living in. And as he's writing to these believers here in Galatia, he's helping them to navigate some of the cultural complexities that they were dealing with and some of the things that they were facing. And one of the things that was lacking in their day and time, and unfortunately was also lacking in the church in that time, was this characteristic called gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Gentleness was something that was not normal in the first century Greco-Roman world that they lived in. They lived under Roman rule. And if you know anything about the Greco-Roman society under the Roman leadership and Roman government, Rome valued dominance. Rome valued power, worship power. Rome worshiped and valued public honor. In other words, to show gentleness or restraint or meekness in that culture and society was seen as a form of weakness. The culture prized aggression, not humility. Leaders maintained control with fear, not with tenderness. And for the early believers who found themselves living in this day and time, church family, gentleness was countercultural because to handle others with care meant being seen as soft. And as a pushover, losing social standing, even unfortunately being mocked. And if we're really honest, 2025 is not too different than first century Greco-Roman context. That just as the believers back then lived in a time that lacked gentleness, we too live in a day and time where gentleness is lacking in nature. Our culture celebrates, hear me, the loudest voice. Our culture celebrates the sharpest clapback. Y'all 11 o'clock, so I expect more out of you today. Our culture celebrates the most cutting critique. Our culture celebrates brashness and harshness and being fierce and being strong and pummeling the competition. It's okay on the football field, you know, with the Eagles. You know, that's, don't be gentle, be harsh. Blow the teams out. No, I'm joking. Some of y'all lie, Pastor. But we live in a day and time, family, where culture worships strength. And if you're looked at as being meek or gentle, you're looked at as being weak. And we live in cultures, and we live in families, and we work on jobs, and we go to schools, and we live in communities where gentleness is lacking. And maybe for some of us, under the sound of my voice, we've even been influenced by that culture because it shapes how we treat people. And I'll get to that in a moment, but even more, hear me, it shapes how we look at ourselves. I told you a few weeks ago, love, the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upward, inward, outward. I can't love outward until I love inward, and I can't love inward until I love upward. I can't love myself properly until I know how much God loves me. And I can't love others properly until I first know how to love myself. So watch this. So that means if I'm not gentle with people, that is more than likely the outgrowth of me not being gentle with myself. And some of us are here today and you're harsh with yourself. You talk yourself down. You speak negative to yourself. Matter of fact, the way you talk to yourself, you wouldn't even tolerate other people talking to you in that fashion. And so we're harsh and we're critical and we call ourselves a failure and we call ourselves a reject and we call ourselves the scum of the earth that we're mess ups and that nobody loves us. And so we're not gentle with us. We make a mistake and we're harsh on ourselves. We're not gentle. We have condemning thoughts, negative self-talk. But even more, if we're honest, we haven't always handled things and people in the most gentlest of ways. Let's be real. We've been spiteful with people. We have been petty with people. Come on. We have snapped back at people. We have been short with people. We have gotten an attitude with people. It's okay. Y'all ain't got to say amen today. The Lord already gave me confirmation on this. I'm good. Like, let's be honest. We haven't always been gentle with people. Come on, husbands and wives, y'all haven't always been gentle. Y'all were fighting before you came to church this morning. You were in the car going at it, and as soon as you pulled into the parking lot and saw that incredible parking team waving with the smile of Jesus, you were like, hey, good morning, praise the Lord. We're going to finish this later. Let's be honest. We haven't always been gentle. But Pastor, I'm just real. I'm a real person. I tell it like it is. I'm real. No, you rude. There's a difference. But Pastor, they deserve to clap back. They snapped at me. But Pastor, they deserve me to be spiteful because they were spiteful towards me. But Pastor, they deserve for me to slander them because that's what they did to me. Pastor, I had to get them back because of how they treated me. Can I pause parenthetically and say this? While we're talking about what people deserved, before we look at others and what they deserved, let's pause parenthetically and look at ourselves first in the mirror. Because last time I checked, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means this, you and I deserve judgment. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You and I deserve wrath. You and I deserve harshness. You and I deserve true, righteous judgment from God because of our sin against God. Hear me, and our sin against people. We have sinned against God. We have disobeyed God. We've rebelled. Let's be real. Come on. We've lied. We've lusted. We've broken the law in the land at times, and we've also broken the law of God at times. You and I have deserved a whole lot of negative things that should have came our way. But the good news is this. Instead of always receiving what we deserve and receiving harshness from God, the blessing is this. God did not always treat you and I according to our sins the way they deserve. God, let me say it like this, write this down. He has been gentle with us. So here's what Psalm 18 verse 35 says out of the ESV translation. It says this, you have given me the shield of your salvation and your right hand supported me and your gentleness, watch this, made me great. Can I give you good news? When God could have crushed you, he carried you. When God could have condemned us, he covered us. When we were falling apart, he was still faithful. When we were rebelling against God and running from God, he was still running to you. When you and I were going against the will of God, God was still loving us. God was still gracious to us. God was still merciful to us. And when I look back over my own life and think about how many times I've messed up, and how I deserve not gentleness from God, but harshness from God. The only thing that I can tell God is thank you, God, for not giving me what I deserve, because I deserve wrath, but you gave me gentleness. And let's be honest. I know some of us in here, you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps and you got the degrees hanging on the wall and you're making great money and you earn that money and you work for that job and you live in that house and you bought that car and you bought that hair and you bought them. I had to wake you up. You bought those shoes and I get it. You've done all the things, but let's be also honest. There's been some things that you have done in your life that you wish nobody would find out about, because if anybody found out about those things, it will quote unquote cancel you. But can I let you know, God knows all about them things that's sitting in your closet that you haven't told nobody. And yet, in spite of all them things that he knows about, he still loves you. He still has extended grace to you. He still has extended mercy to you. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that can give God praise for about 10 seconds to say, God, thank you that you did not give me what my sins deserve. I deserve judgment. I deserve wrath, but you have been good to me. You have been, come on, can we take 5 seconds right now and give God our best praise? Come on. The worst that should have happened to you should have happened to you. But the only reason it did not is because of the goodness of God and the mercy of God. God has been gentle. Let me say it like this. God's like, I could have taken you out. Come on, I'm pointing at everybody and myself. I could have taken you out. But because I'm rich in mercy. Can I let you know how you know that God has been gentle to you? The mere fact that you still got breath in your body in the midst of all the things that you have done in your life. Come on, you haven't crossed every T and dotted every I. You haven't gotten everything right in your life. Come on, let's be honest in here. You haven't followed God's word perfectly in your life. There's been some sin in your life, but yet God has been gentle with you. I could have let that take you out. But I'm gonna show grace. I could have let that bullet take you out, but I'm showing gentleness. Come on, how real y'all wanna be? I could have let that STD ruin your life, but my gentle, y'all not gonna be real with me. I could have let your decisions be the end of your life, but I extended some gentleness. Come on, where are my people in here that can be honest in here? You got a real testimony where you know, man, I'm only where I am today because of the grace of God. I'm not here because of luck. I'm not here because of the universe. I'm not here because of no horoscope. I'm here because of the holy grace and mercy of God. Only God. Only God. He's been gentle when he could have been harsh. I've given so many reasons to God through the course of almost 40 years of living to respond with harshness, but yet he's been gentle. Can I let you know this? Even his discipline is an act of gentleness. Even his discipline is him being gentle. Some of us grew up in a time where you would get disciplined not by going to time out. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Depending on how far back you go get a switch, right? Maybe it was timeout after the switch. Come on, some of y'all have been disciplined in different ways. You've had hands laid on you from your parents. And depending on how you grew up, from the whole neighborhood, all your aunties and the neighbors, your best friend, mom and dad. Some of you go way back to principal. It's way back. Some of y'all are like, I wish a principal would put their hands on my kids. Some of you are like, that's the problem right now. That's why your kid's bad, because you don't let nobody. But I'm full transparency. Y'all, I got disciplined in those type of ways a lot growing up. Like, I put my parents through the ringer. Like, I'm talking about, I did crazy stuff. Like, wild stuff, family. I'll tell you one. It's appropriate. I'll tell you one. I remember I was like 8 years old, y'all. And just like doing dumb stuff, like silly stuff. 8 years old, I remember I got on the phone, called the operator, said a cuss word, and then hung up laughing. I got him. Until I'm at my uncle's house. He's with the Lord now, rest his soul. I'm at my uncle's office, and the phone rings. He answers it. It's the operator on the other line. And they're like, sir, I think somebody called from your number using some profane language. My uncle looks at me. Y'all know how that went down after that. But y'all, so I got this one all the time. And one of the things that I would hear constantly, like from my family, they would say something like this. This gonna hurt you more than it hurts me. How? Come on, where are my people gonna be real? How? You not getting this work right now. I am. And it wasn't until I had kids that I actually understood that from a disciplinary standpoint. Why? Because at the core of the heart of God, like God naturally, he's loving, and a part of his loving nature is the discipline. And discipline, it means correction. Can I let you know this? Sometimes correction does not feel good. If you break your limb, sometimes if you know anything about medical science and going to the doctor, they might say, we might have to reset this, which means I have to break this again because it was growing irregular. And in order for you to grow regular, I have to bring some pain momentarily to your life. But this pain for your life is not to set you back. It's to propel you forward so that way you can be who I called you to be. Why am I saying that? Because some of us feel like right now you're in a season of discipline where God is removing some things. It's some pain right now in your life. You're trying to figure out, man, why is all this stuff happening? And why is all this pressure happening? Or whatever the case may be. Can I let you know this? If God is disciplining you, it is for the sole purpose to bring about more fruit in your life. This is why Jesus says in John 15, that any branch in me that produces fruit, he says this, my father, the gardener, he prunes. You know what prune means? It means to cut back. But why does he do it? Not to harm, but to produce. He says, my father cuts back so that way much more fruit can be produced. Can I let you know, if you're in a season where you feel like God is correcting some things and God shut this down and he cut this relationship and he removed this, maybe it's not a form of punishment, but maybe it's actually a form of development where God is trying to take you to a greater place and cause you to experience the goodness that he has for you and help you to get to a new level in the life that he's created you to live. And can I let you know this? And even when he does that, he's still gentle. He's gentle. And when we look throughout the course of scripture, one of the things that we constantly see is this word of gentleness. God has been gentle towards you. God could have brought the hammer down a long time ago. Come on, where are my people in here who can be real? Like, man, Pastor, I have messed up so many times. I have lied. I have cheated. I have sinned. I've gotten high. I've gotten drunk. I've been with people who are not my spouse. I went to that website. I broke the law. I stole. I was deceptive. I had pride in my heart. And in spite of all of that, God has still been good. God has still been gentle. God has still been faithful. And I wish I had about 50 people in here today, online and in person, who could say, God has been so good to me in my life. God has been so gentle to me in my life. God has been so faithful to me in my life. Come on, who am I talking to today that can say, I would not be where I am had it not been for the gentle grace and mercy of God? I am who I am today because not because I've been good, but because God has been good. It's been gentle. And as Paul continues to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which are characteristics, hear me, of someone who is living according to God's Spirit, the eighth characteristic that he mentions here is this word gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Which helps us to see that one of the key characteristics of living a Spirit-led, or what we're calling in this series, the good life, is living a life of gentleness. Now, I don't want to assume that we all have a biblical understanding of gentleness, because I believe and would argue that many of us might have not a biblical understanding of gentleness, but a cultural one. And how culture sees gentleness is much different than how scripture talks about gentleness. Gentleness, write this down, according to the scripture, some of your translations say meekness. It means this: Strength under control. It means power harnessed in loving service and respectful actions. It means the right use of power and authority. I'll say it again. It is this: power under control. It means this: I could overpower you, but I won't. I could harm you, but I won't. One person says it like this. St. Francis says this: nothing is so strong as gentleness, nothing so gentle as real strength. He says gentle is real strength. Can I help us understand something? Gentleness, hear me, is not weakness. It is Christ-likeness. Gentleness is restraint. It's choosing to use power and truth in ways that build up and not tear down. And what Paul is trying to help the believers understand in his day, and also now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our day, is that God is calling us, hear me, to be gentle people. I know that's counterintuitive, because in culture, you're told to be brash, to be strong, to assert your will. Gentleness doesn't mean I don't have a will. Gentleness means that I've learned how to submit my will. And when it comes to gentleness throughout the scripture, more specifically through the life, leadership, and lordship of our Savior Jesus Christ, we see principles of what gentleness is, and we also see what gentleness isn't. And today, what I want to do is contrast what it isn't versus what it is. Number one, write this down. Gentleness, this is going to be hard for us, isn't natural, but it is possible. Gentleness isn't natural, but it is possible. Pastor, what do you mean by this? Here's what Paul says in Galatians 5. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and then now gentleness. It's fruit of the Spirit, which means this, it comes from God. Meaning this, I can't produce this on my own. And watch this, just because you do a gentle thing does not mean you are a gentle person. And what Paul is advocating for is that a life that is governed by the Spirit will have fruit that shows for that. And one of those fruits will be the fruit of gentleness. It comes from God. Why is this important to understand? Because your flesh, my flesh, our sinful nature, aside from God, it is anything but gentle. Matter of fact, Paul says this in the early part of Galatians 5, right before he begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the works of the flesh. And one of the works of the flesh, he talks about anger and wrath. You want me to tell you what you and I naturally know how to do? Pop off. Come on, let's be honest. We can snap just like that. Some of us got a short fuse, some of us got a shorter fuse. Nobody had to teach us how. Flesh. That's what comes natural. What comes natural aside from Christ is not gentleness, but it is harshness. Gentleness, here's what the scripture is ultimately teaching us. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. So here's what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28. This is why I read the scripture earlier. Notice what he says. Come to me, watch this, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, which means this. Gentleness is something that I have to learn from Jesus. It is not something that you and I know how to do apart from Jesus. So in other words, he's saying, you think you know how to be gentle and what it is, but unless you learn it from me, that is a counterfeit form of gentleness. That's an AI form of gentleness. Come on, y'all know there's a whole bunch of stuff right now that look real, but it ain't real. He says, I will give you rest. Learn from me. Jesus wants us to learn gentleness from him. Why? Because he's the ultimate example of what gentleness looks like. And can I help you understand something? I want you to write this down. Without proximity to Jesus, meaning without me being close to Jesus, I can't produce the gentleness of Jesus. Without proximity to Jesus, I can't produce the gentleness of Jesus. Why? Because without Christ and our sinful nature, you and I are not gentle people. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Watch this. It is not a personality trait. Because some of us would be like, man, Pastor, I'm just not wired that way. That's the point. That's why you need a new nature. This is why Jesus says, you got to be born again. that any person who's in Christ is, watch this, a new creation. You got a new nature about you now. So this means this, that when I come to Christ, I have the seeds of gentleness on the inside of me. Now, here's the thing I want us to understand. If my life is a snappy life, is a short life, is a spiteful life, is a harsh life, is a brash life, it means one of two things. I want you to hear me. It means one of two things. Number one, I'm not really connected to the vine being Jesus. Because being connected to the vine means I'm going to produce fruit. My life will be fruitful. He says, abide in me and I in you, and your life will be fruitful. I'm not talking about you mess up from time to time. I'm talking about the overall direction of your life. If it's characterized in this way, it means one of two things. Number one, I'm not really connected to Christ as I think I am, because there's a lot of people that say they're connected to Christ, but Jesus says you'll judge them by their fruit, because you can't fake fruit. You are who you are. And eventually true character will show up at some point in time. I'm gonna tell you why this is so important. I didn't say this in the first service. My bad, 9 a.m. I'm gonna say it now. Y'all watch the replay. Here's what I mean by this. A lot of times, even in the body of Christ, we put closeness to Christ and we put spiritual maturity on being super and supernaturally gifted. So if I speak in a lot of tongues, oh, that must mean I know Jesus. Can I help you understand something? Just because you speak in a tongue don't mean it's a tongue of Christ. That tongue might not be real. But when it comes to fruit, you can't fake that, because that's character. And here's what I've recognized. When the scripture talks about spiritual gifts, it's this Greek word called charisma. Meaning this, I have this charisma from God, these spiritual gifts from God. And here's what happens. We place more emphasis on charisma from God as opposed to character of God. So we put a lot of emphasis on how well you can speak in a tongue as opposed to how well you can love people. Come on. And so what Paul is advocating for here is that if you and I are really surrendered to Christ, fruit will follow that. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but there's going to be something to show for that. I can't claim to know the one who is love and I'm not loving. Come on. That means the closer I get to Christ, hear me, the more I should look like Christ. The more I abide in Christ, the more I should be patient like Christ. I'm not saying you get it right every day. You're going to mess up. But the more you and I draw close to him, the more you and I begin to look like him. And even this, the more gentle and gentler you and I will become. The more tenderhearted you and I will become. And the thing that God wants us to understand is that apart from him, we can't be gentle, but with him, we can. And the more we get close to him, the more we abide in him, the gentler we should become. Theologian, late theologian John Stott says this, gentleness, hear me, is not an inborn trait, meaning this, you're not born with this. It is the fruit of a heart touched by grace. You're not born with it, you have to be reborn with it. You have to be recreated with it. And here's what I want us to understand, that when you say yes to Jesus Christ, you now have the seeds of gentleness on the inside of you. So here's what this means. So if I'm not seeing that fruit being truly produced, number one, it might mean I'm not really connected to Christ, or number two, it might just mean I'm not as close to Christ as I need to be. Because the closer I get to Christ, the more it gets cultivated. So people around you will begin to notice that, man, that fruit of gentleness tastes good. Man, you used to be real mean, but now you're nice. What happened? Jesus. Man, you used to pop off on everybody. Now you held your tongue. You didn't say nothing. What happened? Jesus. Because now you got fruit. Because you're drawing close to Christ. So here's what I want you to understand about gentleness. It's not natural, but it is possible. It can be produced in your life. But that only happens by us drawing close to Christ. Number two, write this down. Gentleness, hear me, isn't weak, but it is purposeful. Because the misnomer about gentleness is that it is weakness. But gentleness or meekness is not weakness, it is strength under control. Gentleness means I have strength and I know what to do with that strength. It does not mean that I'm a pushover. It means that I know how to exert my strength. It does not mean that I'm soft, if you will. It means that I know how to exert my strength. Gentleness means this. Gentle people, hear me, have thick skin and a tender heart. So I'm not a pushover, but I also don't live my life pushing people over. There's a gentleness to my life. And when I think about gentleness, here's something that comes to mind. When I think about gentleness, what comes to mind is the sport of golf. Where my golf players at? Just by showing hands. How many of y'all play golf in here? Okay, we don't got no people that play golf. Okay. I don't know if this illustration is going to work or not, but you're going to learn today. Going to learn today, right? And what I love about golf, I've been playing golf for a long time, and what I've learned about golf is that there's all these different clubs in the bag, right? This club right here is what we know as the driver. Many people, even if you don't play golf, you're familiar with this. You've seen this. It is the biggest club in the bag. It is the first club that most people go reach for when they get on the golf course. This club right here is known as the driver. Now, or the putter, rather. This putter right here, y'all, I'm gonna let y'all know, I'm really geeked out about this putter right now. This was a birthday gift. I've been wanting a putter like this for years, and the Lord is faithful. My gosh, I mean, look how it's crafted and made. Look, it got them three red dots, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit, and it's in red. I could preach this right here. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the blood I carry with me all the time. Come on. Some of y'all ain't got the blood on your life. That's why you hitting stuff all over the place. All right, I'm not preaching about the putter. But when I think about gentleness, a lot of times when it comes to golf is not about how strong you are, and it's not about your strength. It's about your touch. Because it means nothing if I have the strength to swing this, but I have no control over this. And this right here means nothing if I don't know how to exert a certain measure of restraint. And in golf, ultimately what's happening is, for this club, you use this for long distance. For this, you're using this to close the deal. And what I love about a putter like this, it's all about touch. You can't swing this club like this. You swing this club like that. This club is a club for a full swing. This club may go here, and that's about it. Why? Because the goal that you're trying to accomplish in getting this ball into a small hole requires a certain measure of force, but also a certain measure of restraint. Now, the reason why I wanted to help us to see this is because I think a lot of times we don't know the difference between when to use the driver, if you will, in our life versus the putter. And so a lot of times, here's what's happening. We're living life. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't say this in first service. Y'all getting the good stuff. Teeing off on people. Wait till I get to work. Oh my gosh, yo. Wait till I get home. Oh my gosh. Wait till I get on social media and give them a piece of my mind. And you just going crazy. Some of y'all got scared when you saw that joke. I was like, ah. And we're living life swinging away. And in the meantime, killing relationships, killing people emotionally, because we don't know when to take this out the bag and when to put it away. So when you're on the green, this is not the thing that you use. But many times, because of not having the right knowledge, we will use this in the wrong places and at the wrong times. I'm gonna be real with us. Some of us are the drivers. And you will tee off at the drop of a hat. I cannot wait. I'm gonna tell them off real good. You done thought about everything you're gonna say. And you know what God's saying, telling some of you? Hey, put that away. Because that's gonna be more damaging than you think. This is not a long distance conversation. This requires something with a little bit more touch and a little bit more control. And when you get up there, don't swing away. No. No, have control. See, in golf, you know, you got to line up a certain way, you know. You got to hold the club a certain way. And when you get it, you got to, it's not submitting right now. See, that happens to some of us because when people aren't doing what we want them to do, and they're all over the place. Now we start getting out of control and exerting force and trying to control them and try to micromanage them, and you're not listening. And then we go here. But God said, touch, touch. Just requires some touch, just a soft touch. Oh my gosh, that putter feels great. I haven't even used this putter. This is the first time I've ever used this putter, I promise you. It's still got stickers on it. Look, the Lord is gonna bless this, I promise you. His grace is on this right now. And what many of us don't have is the discernment. Ecclesiastes says this: there's a time and place for everything. And some of us don't have the discernment to know what time I need to use this versus what time I need to use this. There are some times where a little bit more force has to be applied, but there's also some times where a gentle touch is needed. And what God is maybe inviting us, some of us, to do is to examine, are you living your life like a driver when I've called you to live more of your life like a putter? But pastor, this right here seems so soft. I'm not gonna win the arguments. No, but you win the relationship. But pastor, that means it's a pushover. No. Jesus wasn't a pushover. He was tenderhearted, but yet at the same time, he had strength under control. Because the same Jesus in Matthew 11 who says, come to me and learn from me, I'm gentle and I'm humble. This is the same Jesus in Mark chapter 11 who sees the temple and sees something that is supposed to be a place of worship taking place. He sees money changers and he sees people being taken advantage of, and he goes into the temple and the Bible says he begins to flip the tables, and he even makes a whip and starts cracking the whip on people. The same Jesus. That's not Sunday school Jesus. That's real Jesus. What's the difference? He knew when to use power and strength to bring correction. Gentleness is not weakness, it's purposeful. Because even when I'm using this driver, I might swing at it with a whole lot of strength, but if I'm not swinging at it in the right way, that ball goes all over the course. So watch this. So it went a long way, but it was out of bounds. And some of us are strong, hitting all these marks, but you've been out of bounds. Out of bounds with the words that we've said, maybe. Out of bounds with some of our actions. And what God is inviting us to today is he's inviting us to be gentle in our tone, gentle in our touch, gentle in our presence, gentle in terms of how we treat people. But pastor, that's not easy. I didn't say it was. This is why you have to die to your flesh and let the Lord lead your life. It does not happen naturally, but it is possible. That's why it takes the power of Christ at work on the inside of you. Yes, it is hard to not get somebody back for what they did to you. I know it. But this is the same Jesus who on the cross, after being crucified by people that he could have easily just said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's gentleness. Because he's on the cross and he could have easily said, hey, Michael, Gabriel, cuckoo. Start over. Father, forgive them. That's gentleness. He could have ended everybody. But yet he says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Gentleness, write this down, doesn't mean strength is lacking. It means strength is under control. So here's a few things. Who am I to be gentle with? I'm gonna move these quickly. Who am I to be gentle with? Here it is. Everyone. Everyone. Everybody say everyone. I know that seems like a profane word to say right now. Everyone. Here's what Titus 3 says. Remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Titus 3 verse 2 says this. To slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind. Always showing gentleness to all people. Y'all, gentleness does not have a premium on who it is shown to. It's meant to be shown to everybody. Meaning this, you gotta be gentle to a person you disagree with. You got to be gentle to people who look like you. You got to be gentle towards people who don't look like you. You have to be gentle towards that coworker that you know is talking about you behind your back, but yet smiles in your face. You have to be gentle to that crazy relative that you're going to see at the family reunion later on this summer. You have to be gentle to the husband or to the spouse, even though y'all are not agreeing. Parents, you got to be gentle towards your children. But my daddy won't gentle towards me. Since when did your daddy become the standard? Your heavenly father is the standard. I gotta be gentle towards everybody. Gentle towards people who vote like you. Gentle towards people who don't vote like you. Gentle towards all people, no matter their age, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their background. Why? Because the heart of God is that all people would experience his everlasting gentleness. This is why our church has a vision to be a church for all people, to see all people connected to Christ. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. God's desire is that all people would experience his gentleness. So this is why our church is a church for all people, no matter your age, no matter your color, no matter your background, no matter your past, no matter what you have done. Why? Because the gentleness of God is for all people. I like what the late Tim Keller says. He says this: gentleness flows from knowing you have been forgiven much. When you recognize how much God has forgiven you, who are you and I to not forgive others? When God has been gentle towards us, who are you and I to not be gentle towards other people? Can I ask you this question? Who do you need to be more gentler towards? God is going to allow some people to enter into your sphere of influence, where he's going to cultivate the fruit of gentleness through some people who get on your nerves. Come on. I know today is a tight sermon, but it's good medicine. You and I got to be gentle. Because this is what causes us to be set apart in a culture that's not gentle. How am I to be gentle? Hear me. In every situation. In everything. So here's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness or graciousness be known to everyone. Meaning this, it should be visible. It should be tangible. It means this, we are to be gentle in every respect of the way. Everything that I say and do, the goal should be to be gentle. And as Christians, let me help you understand something. We can't go around hammering people for their sin and for disagree. We can't live life like a hammer. Why? Because when you live life like a hammer, you treat everyone like a nail. You and I can't live like that. Because God could have easily brought the hammer down on us, but he did not bring it down on us. He gave us grace and he gave us gentleness in spite of all the things that you and I have done. He's called us to be gentle with everyone and with everything. Here's my last thing and then we're done. Gentleness, it's gonna get real, isn't popular, but it is powerful. It's not popular. In the Roman society, gentleness was considered weakness. The Roman government ruled with an iron fist. They prized themselves on power. They prized themselves on authority. Gentleness was not something that was present in the Roman society. However, Paul helps us to see that gentleness in the midst of a culture that lacks it can actually be influential, hear me, and also impactful. That gentleness has the potential and the power to change things around it. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Can I let you know this? That you coming into a very tense situation with a spirit of gentleness can actually cause and diffuse some heightened and serious situations. You coming into a situation with a level head can actually help to simmer and solve some problems that are present in relationships. That just because they're here don't mean you go there. I'm gonna match their energy. No, you don't. No. Bring a different energy called gentleness. It's not popular, I know, but it's powerful. It changes things. It changes relationships. It can change people. Gentleness, write this down, isn't popular in the world, but it is powerful enough to change the world. Here's what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps, verse 25, God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. And then verse 26 says this, then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Can I help you understand something? You being gentle towards people can actually lead people to Jesus. You being gentle can actually change your environment. You being gentle can actually change your marriage. You being gentle can change your sibling. You being gentle can change that coworker. You being gentle can change your community. You being gentle can change your family dynamic. You being gentle can begin to change the world. You being gentle begins to bring forth transformation to a place that is hurting and broken. The gentleness of God that flows through us has the power to change people and things around us. My God, what would houses look like if more marriages were gentle? What would communities look like if people were more gentle? I want to close with this. What would my friendships look like if we were more gentle? Can I let you know there's somebody like Peter who denied Jesus three times, who deserved to be cast aside by Jesus? The Bible says that he restored him essentially gently. Peter denied him three times. Jesus could have popped off on him. Could have said, I'm never going to trust you again. But yet this is the same Peter who Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And the same Peter in Acts chapter 2 preaches and 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Why? All because of a gentle Savior who said that though you messed me over, I'm still going to be gentle towards you. And matter of fact, some of us are in here today, and you can testify, I've been Peter so many times. I've messed up, and I've lied, and I've cheated, and I've dropped the ball, and I've gone astray. But God has been so gentle towards me. God has been faithful to me. God has been good to me. Can I let you know here today, family? You and I had every reason to have God bring the hammer down on us. He should have hammered you because of your sin. He should have hammered you for drunkenness. He should have hammered you for lies. He should have hammered me for lust. He should have hammered me for deceitful ways. He should have hammered us for deception. But instead of bringing the hammer down on us, instead of us getting what our sins deserve, and instead of us experiencing the true wrath of God, God did not bring his hammer of justice and grace on us by itself. God brought his hammer of justice and righteousness and the punishment for our sin on his eternal son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And when he brought that hammer down on Jesus on the cross, he hammered one hand to one side of the cross, and he hammered the other hand to the other side of the cross with that nail. And when Jesus sat there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When Jesus sat there, he said, it is finished. When Jesus sat there, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he got hammered so that way I can be saved. He got hammered so that I can be healed. He got hammered so that I could be set free. Who am I talking to today that can say, I thank God that he hammered his son Jesus Christ, because that should have been me on the cross. That should have been me with a nail in my hand, but God has been good. God has been faithful. That when he could have brought the hammer of justice down on you, he brought it down on him. It says, all of your sins that I should have attributed to you, I'm putting them on my son Jesus, so that now in him, you might become the righteousness of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be a sin offering for us. You know what this means? It means Jesus took your place on the cross. And can I let you know this? The cross was not gentle. It was bloody. It was hard. But Jesus experienced that so that way you and I could experience the gentleness and the graciousness and the kindness of our God. God says, I've been gentle towards you. Your sin should have found you out a long time ago. But my grace comes. covered it. Some of y'all are like, man, I ran that. No, you didn't. You had goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. The only reason your sin did not get the best of you is because of the graciousness and the gentleness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are where you are today because he has been gentle towards you. And when you begin to look back over your life, and when you begin to think about all the things in your life that you have walked through, good, bad, ugly, pretty, whatever it is, you will be able to see a constant thread of the gentleness and the grace and the kindness and the mercy and the love and the patience and the goodness of God all over your life. I'm talking to some of y'all here today that can honestly say, Pastor, I am where I am today because God has been gentle to me. I should not be working this job I'm working today. I should not be living where I'm living at today. I should not be alive the way I'm alive today. But the only reason I am where I am today is because of God and his gentleness towards me. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that can testify to the fact that it is because of the gentleness that you are where you are today? It is because of the gentleness that you have the job that you have. It is because of the gentleness that you have the life that you have. It is because of the gentleness that you are experiencing the joy that you have. Is there about 10 people here today that can stand to their feet and take 10 seconds and give God praise for the fact that he has been gentle, that he has been good, that he has been faithful, that he has been loving? Because when God, hand me that driver, when God could have teed off on you, teed off, he said, I'm gonna get close. My grace will touch your life. Thank God that the one who could have teed off on us teed off on his son, so that you and I could be sons and daughters. He was gentle, gentle. And now he says, because I've been gentle towards you, I'm calling you to be gentle towards others. But Pastor, you don't know how much they wounded me. You're right, I don't, but God does. But Pastor, they wounded me so bad. But here's what I know. He was wounded for our transgressions. But Pastor, it cut so deep when they said what they said. But he was cut for your salvation. But Pastor, they lied on me. But he was spat upon and lied upon so that you could experience the righteousness of God. I want to let you know that everything that you think you could have experienced from somebody that's harmed and been harmful, Jesus has already experienced it. So you might be wounded, but can I let you know? He was wounded, and by his stripes, you will now be healed. You might have been cut to the core. I know what they did was grimy and dirty and low. And in your mind, in culture's mind, they don't deserve gentleness. They deserve harshness. But when you deserved it, he gave you kindness. And the Bible says it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And don't get it twisted. God's gentleness was perfectly seen on the cross. Justice and righteousness. He dealt with the punishment. He dealt with the sin. But he also demonstrated his love. And I'm talking to some of you here today, husbands, wives, children, students, followers of Christ. This fruit in your life is one of the most consequential things that you need to live a good life. You're not called to be or to live, hear me, and I say this respectfully, you're not called to live a drama-filled life. You're called to be gentle. Watch this, and yeah, they're gonna talk about you. Man, you soft. You're a little church boy. You super spiritual. You too spiritual for me. You better than me. I wouldn't take that. I can't take that because Jesus already did. I don't got nothing to prove. I'm free. And when you begin to walk in the gentleness of Christ, you can now live out the gentleness of Christ. So, as we all stand to our feet with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, I want you to know this. Gentleness is something, first and foremost, God wants you to appreciate from Him in your own life. Some of you are here today. Maybe you fall in one of these two areas. Number one is this. You're like, Pastor, man, I'm saved, but this gentleness thing is hard, man. I'm not the best. I'm rough around the edges. I got that knuck if you buck spirit in me. I got that try Jesus, don't try me in my spirit. I get it. But can I also tell you what you have? If you know Christ, you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And the seed of gentleness is already there. It just has to be cultivated. And that happens by being close to Him. So for some of you, it's like you got relationship with Jesus, but you need to get close to Him. That's where some of you fall. Some of you are in this area. You don't have relationship with Jesus at all. I'm gonna let you know this. You will not be able to successfully be gentle at all without Jesus. You need Him. He is the source of gentleness. He is the example of gentleness. Without Him, you can't be this. And you need Him. And when you have Him, watch how your life changes. Watch how your relationships change. Watch how things on the inside and around you begin to change. So if you're here today under the sound of my voice, my head's about and eyes closed, and you're like, Pastor, I'm here today, and I need to give my life to Christ. I need to come to Him. I want to learn from Him. I want to experience His life and life more abundantly. I want to be the gentle person that He's called and created me to be. I'm tired of doing it on my own. I'm tired of living life on my own. I want to be with Jesus. On the sound of my voice, if you're here, on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. One, today is the day of new beginnings. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to say yes to Him today. Come on, you cannot do this without Him. Wherever you are, just slip up your hand. Just want to see you. Amen. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. If this is you online, amen, I see your hand. Praise God. Come on. For every hand lifted in this place, I'm going to lead you in what's called a prayer of confession, a prayer of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the grave, we will be saved, meaning we will be in relationship with Him. If you believe it and confess it, this is yours. So would you say these words? Jesus, I give You my life. I believe that You died for my sins. I believe that You raised back to life to give me new life. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for loving me. I receive Your grace. I receive Your forgiveness. I receive Your gentleness. In Your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together for the hands that went up today? Come on, praise God for those who said yes to Jesus.